a film of dust and sucking away moisture. But this was an oasis, with carefully tended date palms, and Vetch's camp was downwind of the palm grove. The Bedou camped within the oasis, permitting Vetch the downwind side for his own camp, so the Khamisin would not trouble him much tonight. Vetch's scarlet dragon Avatra slumbered at his back, her body warm inside the pit he had dug in the sand and lined with stones heated in his fire. Fuel was as precious out here as water, but tonight no one begrudged the effort of collecting it for him. Firstly, this clan of veiled ones boasted many camels and could afford the dried dung for the fire. And secondly, Avatra had earned the right to her fuel and more. She had eaten well today, taking down 4 of the desert gazelles. The first time had been this afternoon, twice in rapid succession, enough to feed her well at midday. The second time had been with the help of Vetch's sling, and enabled the two of them to provide an evening meal not only for Avatra herself, but for Vetch and the clan of Veiled Ones who were hosting him on this last evening in the desert. There was a faint scent of roasting meat on the Khamisin tonight, the last remains of the evening feast. He was within striking distance of the goal he had sought for so long. Soon he would cross the border that divided Tian lands from Alten. Soon he would be among his own people, and although he probably looked outwardly calm, inside he was afire with excitement, and at the same time, afraid. This moment was one he had dreamed about for so long, but dreams were one thing, reality another. Once he had dreamed of having a dragon, too. Now he had one, and Avatra was so much more than he had been able to imagine. She gave him freedom, and tied him to her with bonds of responsibility and love. He had never envisaged how much she would mean to him. It was a glorious burden he would never have given up for the world, but it meant that he was no longer beholden only to himself. In fact, when given a choice between his own welfare and hers, and there had been many such choices on this journey, he would always choose hers. He could not help himself. She was his beloved, after all. Now, faced with the prospect of crossing into the land he had once thought of as his goal, he knew that no matter what his dreams had been, they could not possibly replicate what he would encounter. Those dreams might be better than what he actually found, or they might be worse, but they would probably be different, and that alone was reason for fear. But this was as far as the talismans that the Veiled Ones had provided as a series of guides would take him. Tomorrow, one of them would personally take him to within sight of the Alten border, the lands where the desert ended and the swampy delta began, and leave him there. Tonight, unlike previous evenings, he was not alone at his fire. He shared it with one of the mouths of the Bedou nomads, an enigmatic and apparently sexless creature covered from head to toe in one of their characteristic belted blue robes and over vest dyed with indigo. As with all of the others, the mouth was veiled by a drape of cloth that showed only the eyes. Both sexes wore the veils, a practical consideration when one lived in a land where the wind never stopped, and neither did the dust. He had never heard of any of the Bedou going without their veils, but then he had never heard of the Bedou going outside the desert. That the costume made the Veiled Ones even more enigmatic to outsiders was, he was sure at this point, a source of endless amusement to them. He still could not tell whether these mouths were male or female. Perhaps they were neither. It was altogether possible that they were a kind of eunuch. He didn't find that idea as discomforting as he might have once. If the mouths were a sort of eunuch, it was not something that had happened against their will. And certainly there were priests of certain obscure gods, even among his own people, who volunteered for such a sacrifice. Some believed that those who had done so obtained the special favor of their god, others that to remove sex from one's life opened one to visions or granted great magical power. For some, such a sacrifice was worth the gain. This particular mouth was regarding Vetch from the other side of a smaller fire than the one that had heated Avatra's rocks, watching with a direct and clear-eyed gaze over the veil. The mouth had asked Vetch to tell his tale in full, and had been simply regarding him quietly for some time now.